Thank you, Dr. Jim. So I'm going to talk about the method that we have developed to use CRISPR technology to produce non-transgenic mutants, which do not need to go through sexual reproduction, which might be very useful for many horticultural crop plants, particularly perennial crop plants. As the some of the presenters already presented that it is essential to produce CRISPR-mediated mutants without transgene left in the plant genome. Otherwise, your mutant is still transgenic. And the case then could be more problematic. Think about it, if they can introduce mutation in the plant cell, once you consume this food, the people are going to guess this technology, going to say, well, that's going to induce a mutation in your intestine, in your stomach. Although I don't believe so, but that can be very problematic. Recently, non-transgenic hybridized canola has been, canola plant has been developed, and the some of the farmers in North Dakota has planted those CRISPR mutant plants. As the title says here, SU canola could end GMO bottles. I believe this is not only end the GMO debating of bottles, they might drive the transgenic herbicide resistant canola out of the market because it is not transgenic. You can see the potential of this technology if there, if no transgene involved, it's very beneficial. Traditional method to produce non-transgenic mutant plants use the CRISPR system for annual crop plants, as shown here. You initially produce stable CRISPR gene-containing transgenic plants, and then that can create desirable mutants with sgRNA of your interest, or which can target the your interest, the gene of interest. Then you self-pollinate those plants, and then in the progeny, you hope that the gene you muted could be different than the CRISPR genes in terms of the location or even the chromosome numbers. So if you do self-pollination, you will have some plants which only have mutations but no transgenes. On the other type of plants, you might have transgene has no mutation, or some other plants you have both. So you select the ones without transgene but it has desirable mutation in there. However, it's not working well for perennial crop plants, for the many plants which are also heterozygous. Once you get it into progeny stage through self-pollination, you may not have the traits you wanted to have. So as such that the question is, how can we use CRISPR to create non-transgenic mutant plants for the woody or perennial crop plants without going through sexual reproduction? The technology, two, three technology has been developed in the past. One is that done by a group in Korea. They use protoplast system, they use pre-simplified Cas9 protein with sgRNA, and then use, like Dr. Dodd said earlier, use the PEG to mediate the delivery of the system into protoplast cell. And then they produce the mutant plants. The advantage of this is transgene-free, absolutely, because no DNA has been delivered in there, just a protein and the mRNA. The disadvantage is that protoplast regeneration for many crop plants are extremely difficult. So it may not work for million power plants we wanted to work. The second approach is published by people in the Chinese National Academy of Sciences, where they use gene gun to deliver either Cas9 protein or sgRNA or the plasmid DNA which contain Cas9 or sgRNA in there to deliver into the plant cell by particle bombardment. This method could produce non-transgenic mutant plants because some of the DNA will not be able to incorporate into the chromosome of the host plants. However, the gene gun method has not been very popular for the deliver DNA into plant cells because there are a lot of technical difficulties involved. For instance, we have gene gun in our lab for 20 years. We have not used a gun for transformation. There's too much difficulties. We always use agrobacterium. As many of you do transgenic plants, you may have the same feeling. Furthermore, some of the small fragment of DNA could be incorporated into the genome. It will be difficult to identify. But if somebody find out later, you can use non-transgenic, somebody find out 100 base pair transgene in there, you're going to have bigger issues. So the method has a lot of utilities, but it's also limited. As such, we decided to use agrobacterium-mediated transient expression system to create non-transgenic mutant plants. Agrobacterium has a lot of advantages over the other transformation technologies such as gene gun method. It is more widely used in plant transformation. It is easy, simple to perform, as I explained earlier, and many plant species can be infected, particularly with some of the improved agrobacterial strains or TI plasmid. So the plant, the list for plant that can be transformed by agrobacterial is getting longer and longer, and including some monocular plants. Now, why we think agrobacterial can be used to transiently express the TDNA genes if it contains Cas9 as sgRNA. As you can see here, this is the agrobacterium cell, this plant cell, and when agrobacterium infect plants, their TDNA was released from TDNA TI plasmid, as shown here, with some help of viral proteins, and then transport from the agrobacterium cell to the plant cell, and then get into cytosol of plant cell, and then eventually get into nucleus of plant cell. Once get into the nucleus, those genes in the TDNA can be expressed without incorporating into the host genome. So this, at this stage, if it gets expressed, that is transient expression. Now, if you have a Cas9 and a sgRNA sequence here, you may produce Cas9 protein, sgRNA, it may work on the target sequence, produce mutation. So that's what we think we might be able to use the system. So we first demonstrated that how much transient activity versus the stable transgenic transformation activity. As shown here, this, the gas activity, the fuse as blue color, which represent both transient and stable expression. On this side, represent stable transformation. And if you take away of the activity observed here from this, you can see the difference between these two is still huge. And those differences in gas gene expression indicate those are transient gas gene expression. So this tells us we can use the agrobacterial system to produce, to transient express Cas9 and sgRNA genes. Same as being shown in citrus. Here is both transcendent and stable. Here is stable. Again, difference between those two are the transcendent expressed God's activities. And based on that, so we decided to use this technology, Agrobocarian, to demonstrate whether we can use a system to produce PDS mutants. PDS gene is a gene responsible for chronos biosynthesis. When you block that, Dr. Jiang already gave a good introduction on that. When you block the PDS gene expression, you will have no chronoids. Chronoids stabilize chlorophylls. As if you have no chronoids, the chlorophylls can be bleached. Therefore, you have white leaf, white stems. The issue here, when we use agrobacteria to infect tobacco plants, we do not use any selection markers like a kanamycin to select transgenic plants. Because we don't want to have transgene in there. So without any selections for transgenic plants, we do observe those white corner mutants. Those are PDS mutants. And so we easily produce a large number of the PDS mutants use this agrobacterium mediated expression of CRISPR genes. And some of the mutants shown here, we sequence them. And this Y type here has one T added in this line. This T has been deleted. And these two lines has a T added, and this has deleted. This has more base pair deleted. So you can have all kinds of mutations. And it looks, it works well without selections. However, if you're working with a gene without any phenotype, now, how you can tell which one has mutation, which has no mutation? Because the reason, the problem here is that we do not use any selection system. So your chances to have those shoots have a mutation in there is not very high. Most of them are going to be wild type of shoots, since no selection in there. So how can we come up with strategies to efficiently screen for the mutations or mutant plants among those shoots you regenerate without antibiotic selections? So we developed two strategies. One is DNA sequence analysis. Another one is high resolution melt analysis. So suppose you regenerate 1,000 shoots. Use your agrobacterium to transform plants without selections. And then we use DNA sequencing method. We divided this into 42 shoots or plants per group. There's 1,000 shoots. So in each of these 42 shoots combined sample, we isolate the DNA in there. From there, we use PCR to clone the sRNA target region, which is our target gene, and then we conducted deep sequencing analysis to see those any one of these 42 plants or any mutant plants in these 42 plants. Our efficiency, we can generate one out of 100. We use 42. So even 42 plants, this group, if it contain one mutant gene, we can detect. Then, after we identify which group has mutant in there, we further divide it into 7 plants per group. So start from 42, you can have 6 groups here, and then we're going to do high resolution melt analysis. And that's going to tell which group has, and then if we identify one group has the have mutation, and then we're going to divide those 7 plants individually, and then we identify the mutants. So I'm going to show you some of the data we have. So initial identification of mutants use deep DNA sequence analysis based on 42 plants pools. Here is the part of our sgRNA targeted region of the PDS gene, and this PDS 10 mutants, we mixed one mutant in with 41 wild type plants. So why is that DNA we piece out and then we sequence? As we can see that at these four positions, this is the nucleotide variance frequency or errors frequency. You can see at these four positions, we have much higher error frequencies compared to other regions. Those are white dot, black dots are wild type, pure wild type. And those ones are our 42 plants mixture with one mutant. And where you can see this red color triangles. You can see this at this four position have a much higher frequency. So this suggests that this four position has mutation. In fact, we know this mutant. The mutant do have mutations in these four positions. That's confirmed that we can use this technique to screen for mutant. However, sometimes you might see that some of the positions has no mutation, but their frequency, error frequency is still high. So in order to solve that problem, we designed a strategy. That is, we take this DNA, we dilute it with 6 times of wild type of DNA. Then we do sequencing again. If there are sequencing error, they should not be changed. If there are mutation from mutation, it will be reduced. As you see here, at these four positions, this after dilution from here, without dilution, down to this blue color square. All these four positions. So with these two strategies, one is initially look at the error rate. If we are higher than, for instance, 0.004 here. And then we choose those ones that we do dilution and then resequence them. Then with these two, we pretty much confirmed they do contain mutants. So we have done the many mutants mixed with wild type plants. Each one of them, each mutants contain mixed with 41 wild type. All confirmed the two mutations and then two mutants. So use that sequence, we can screen for large number of shoots regenerate because we can group them as 42 plants for each group. Then after we get that 42 shoot group, if we identify one or two has desirable mutants in there, then how can, as I said, to further identify which one has a mutant. So we're going to do high melting, melt analysis. We're going to divide this into 6 groups, 7 shoots per group. Again, we isolate DNA, we do high resolution, and then do PCR of our target region, and then we do high resolution melt analysis. So before I talk about some of the results, I'm going to just briefly introduce you high resolution melt analysis. Here is the PCR reaction. Many of us do. We always start at low temperature up to 95. We call that as denature. Basically, the DNA molecule, as you know, look like this in the test tube. If you have fluorescence dye associated with in the test tube, if that can only bind to double stranded DNA, for instance, as temperature increase, you're going to have a reduced signal. So that can tell you whether your DNA melt or not, or what the degree of melting. For instance, here and here are going to have a huge difference. Here and those ones are going to have a huge difference. So as has been shown before, even have one mutation in, for instance, 100 base pair, one single base pair mutation in one base, 100 base pair fragment DNA, if you mix those mutant DNA with wild type DNA at a 1-to-1 ratio, so 50-50% mutant and wild type, and the mutant only has one mutation, rest of the sequence same as wild type. you can tell the melting curve, which are different. Here is 100% white type. Here is this 1-to-1. So one base pair out of 100 base pair in total, if that makes the white type an equal ratio, you have huge difference in the melting curve. And we tested those ratios. So this here is 1-to-1, 1-to-6, 1-to-19, and 1-to-29. So we decided to use 1-to-6. That's the safest, but you can do this 1-to-19 as well, easily. So we do 7 plants pool, 1 plant pool, and here we choose 7 plant pool. This is Y type. These are some of the mutants. You can see big difference. And then eventually we do 1-to-1 ratio, identify which one is. So with that, we can quickly, easily identify mutants from a population of 1,000 shoots in about 14 days at a cost of about $1,500, which is not expensive, highly efficient. But at start from, you have already have shoots. So you can use PCR to further identify which ones are mutant. Some of them, which ones are transgenic. Some of them still transgenic. Or use kind of selection, now this time, to see which one is transgenic or non-transgenic. Then, so our conclusion is that we have developed those methods to produce non-transgenic mutant plants without going through sexual reproduction. You can screen at a very early stage. Time is up. Okay, so I'm just leave these slides here. Or maybe leave this slide.